Sabbath is a practice. And interestingly enough, I was reflecting on the last service, and Sabbath is really this idea of slowing down. And one of the first things the guys from the booth told me was, dude, you were all over the place moving way too fast for the cameras. So I'm preaching about Sabbath, and I'm doing this the whole time. It's crazy. So I'm going to chill. Good? All right. And they'll like me more back there. But the problem is they fixed the lights up here, and they expanded my space. I used to be trapped in this box that was like right here. And they said, Brian, you can't move outside that because then you'll be outside the light. And I said, well, that just helps the people in the front row not catch the blinding light off the baldness. Apparently that didn't work. So now they got the light, so I can go like way, I'm going slow. I can go way over here or way over there. It's fantastic. And it has nothing to do with Sabbath. So let's focus, shall we? Lord, we ask that you would guide this time, that you would speak in and through me and into the hearts of those that are here. And Lord, I pray that we would really, really grasp how important this thing is called Sabbath this morning, and that we will make it a regular part of our lives. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As I stated, Sabbath is a practice. It's a spiritual practice. And my definition of a spiritual practice is any regular thing that we do that helps us know and become more like Christ. It's any practice or thing that we do that allows us to know and become more like Jesus. But there's that key word there, it's practice. See, I coach high school football, and I warned you all that when I preach, I really only have two subjects I can preach around, and that is football and my family. So here comes the football illustration. I coach high school football. I have for 20-some years, and currently I coach at Altoona High School, and I coach outside linebackers right now. And one of the things that we do, all the positions do it, but we do it outside linebacker, is something we call EDDs, which are everyday drills. And the reason we call them everyday drills, you may have guessed, is because we do them every day. Yeah. And the point of doing these drills every single day is to get it drilled into the kids' heads so that it moves from being something they have to think about to something they do naturally without thinking. They can just react so that when they see a certain thing that they've practiced 100 times in a game, they just respond and react to it appropriately. Well, what that ultimately does is then by the time they get to Friday night games is hopefully it becomes second nature, especially over the course of a long season, so that they get onto the field, and when those situations happen, it's just locked in and they respond to it immediately because it's locked in there in a powerful way. Well, spiritual practices are very similar. The idea behind making a spiritual habit in our life allows us to, each day that we do that, become more and more like Jesus and help us to know him better. The more we know him, the more we experience him, the more we will be connected to Jesus intimately, and the more that we know him intimately, the more our life begins to reflect his. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm guessing there's some of you here today that would say, you know, right now, I don't feel like I'm winning the battle of being more like Jesus. Sometimes I feel like it's 2 steps forward and 10 steps back. And largely that happens because of habits, hurts, and hang-ups that we have in our lives. Habits being things like addictions to food or pornography or money or whatever it might be. And sometimes it's hurts, things from our past, trauma that we've gone through, or sometimes it's just, you know, just a hang-up, something that we just can't seem to get past, we can't seem to get over. But those things derail us from our journey to become and know Christ better, become like Christ and know Christ better. And so the idea behind Sabbath is to create a practice that really, really drives home the idea of stopping everything else in order to make time to really, really focus for a full 24 hours on the things that matter, on our relationship with the Lord, with our family, with each other. And so I believe that that makes this thing called Sabbath one of the most important things that we could put into our lives. Mark 2:27 says, and he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. Pastor Paul has done an excellent job over the last 4 weeks really making a case for why Sabbath is important and essential to our lives. You know, for the longest time in my life, I looked at Sabbath as, you know, one of these things that it sounds nice, I should probably do it, but I didn't really understand what it was or even how to go about doing it. And it honestly just didn't have a high importance to me because I just thought, you know what, my life's busy and sometimes I'll take a day off, but I looked at a day off as Sabbath and I really didn't understand some of the key elements that make Sabbath so important. And what's beautiful is that Pastor Paul has kind of laid out all the framework that Sabbath's a practice, perspective, and pattern of resting in God that teaches us to live in true freedom. And he's allowed me to take on in this last week just the practical side. How do we do it? What are the elements of a good sabbatical, of something that's going to be life-altering, life-changing, that's going to bring life to me, to my relationship with the Lord, and to my relationship with others? So the big idea I have for today is just simply this. Sabbath is the best practice, and I'm gonna double down on that. It is the best practice for knowing and becoming like Christ. Your daily time with the Lord, prayer, silence, all of that is great and needed and powerful, but Sabbath is a full 24 hours of making this commitment to chase after Jesus. So I'm gonna give you today 4 keys to a life-changing Sabbath practice. This section of the message really comes out of a book called Sabbath by a guy by the name of Pete Scarzerio. He's the guy who created all the emotionally healthy stuff that we're doing, the class material that we're doing this fall. And it's a powerful book, it's a free book, very short and simple. If you're like me, you like hearing that, short and simple. PDF book that you can get on their website, Emotionally Healthy Discipleship. So check that out and you can grab the book and read this for yourself. But these 4 practices come right straight out of that book. And the first one is this, it's that we're supposed to stop. Exodus 20:8-11 says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the 7th day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. It's a day that we're supposed to just stop. Then Genesis 2:1 says that God actually practiced this himself. He says, thus the heavens and the earth were finished and all the hosts of them. And on the 7th day, God finished his work that he had done and he rested on the 7th day from all of his work that he had done. He modeled what it looked like to stop, the need to stop and rest and enjoy what has been created. Now, I was thinking about this idea a little bit because I realized that kind of one of the dilemmas is I realize that we're super busy people, or at least we think we're super busy people, right? I mean, if we're honest, I mean, really, really honest, we tell everybody when they come up to us, how you doing? I'm busy. I'm super busy. We don't tell them, you know, actually, I'm a little behind on some stuff because I binge-watched 7 hours of Breaking Bad last night on Netflix. We don't tell them that part, right? Or whatever your show is. We often just focus on how behind we feel. And I think that the real issue is that we lack margin in our life. We don't always make the best choices to do things in the order, in a way that would help us make time for the things that are the most important. We want downtime, we need downtime. Now listen, here's what I'm not saying. I'm not trying to communicate that what you need to do is give up all fun, do nothing fun at all, and then have this long day with the Lord where you just sit in a, you know, lay in a prostrate way on the ground and just worship and pray. That's not what I'm talking about. In fact, I believe Sabbath is so much more than that. It is an opportunity for us to connect with God, with our family, with friends, to do fun things. But while we're doing it, practice some of the principles we're gonna talk about today. So as I'm trying to figure out how's the best way to communicate this, I was thinking about counting macros. Over the last several years, I managed to put a bunch of weight on that I had taken off. I'm super frustrated with myself about it, but I went down to Texas for 2 years, and all their meals are bigger in Texas. And I was stressed. I was working a job that wasn't the right fit for me, and that was a kind of a weird situation. And it led to, rather than leaning fully on the Lord, I leaned on the Lord, but not fully on the Lord. I oftentimes, instead of filling my life with the things of the Lord, I filled it with, you know, bread and cereal and anything else I could get my hands on. And I managed to put 40 pounds of what I'd already lost back on my body. And so the last month or so, I've been on a journey to try to take back or lose what I gained, I guess would be the better word, but to get back to where I was. And in order to do that, I've started counting macros and looking at my calories. So I'm trying to focus on 2,100 calories, but particularly I'm trying to focus on making sure that in those 2,100 calories, I get at least 140 grams of protein. What's beautiful about that, and it's the reason it worked for me the first time I did it, was that it allows me to still have some carbs. It's not like I can't have carbs. In fact, I'm still allowed to have 200 grams of carbs every day, but I just have to be careful about making sure I don't go over. And that made me think about this process. So if you're a person that's focusing on getting more protein in your life and less carbs, the equivalent would be more Jesus is the protein, less carbs is the, you know, Netflix binging, laying around staring at nothing, the 15 hours a week. You all get that little thing. That little thing. I get it every Sunday. Do you get it every Sunday? Pops up on my phone and it says, this week you spent 5% more time on your phone. Oops. Right? Comes up every Sunday morning. I have a little reminder to me. I don't know when yours comes up, but it comes up. So whatever it might be, that it's not that we can't have carbs. We have to control them. And the same thing is true. If we're going to have a healthy Sabbath where we stop and make time for the Lord, for family, for connecting deeper with Him, to be known by Him, for Him to know us, for us to know Him, for our relationship to be better, for us to become more like Him, we have to stop some things. We have to not do as much. You know, I was thinking a few weeks ago, I had a super crazy week. I was working here and I was coaching football and I was, I still somehow managed to find time in that week for my Sabbath with my family on the weekend. And I also found time somehow on a Sunday afternoon to binge watch about 2 hours of a show that I probably shouldn't have wasted my time on, but I still had time and it was okay. Because for the most part that week, my life had been balanced. Now, one of the things I said to our staff recently here was that if I say that I'm busy, the next time you ask me how I'm doing, I give you permission to punch me or something. Like, just deck me. Tim, I don't know if you guys know Tim, but Tim's definitely gonna take me up on that at some point. So I'm trying to be really careful what I say to him. Because that's not the truth. The truth is I'm not busy. Sometimes I didn't prioritize well, so I'm behind. So the better answer is, you know, I'm a little behind. A little behind. I prioritized some wrong things last week, got a little behind. And there are lots of things that can help us be more effective in this world. But I honestly believe for the most part, when we say we're busy, we're not being honest with ourselves. And when we say we're too busy for God, too busy to Sabbath, we're really, really lying to ourselves. At the core of the word Sabbath is the idea of ceasing or stopping from everything else to take time to be with the Lord, to take time to slow down, to take time to let our bodies heal, our minds slow, and get our hearts in focus on the Lord. The second key to making sure we have a healthy Sabbath practice is that we need to understand we need to rest. Psalm 116:7 says, "Return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you." And then Psalm 62:5 says, "For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from you." One of my favorites, Psalm 46:10, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." Later this fall, actually October 1st, you can put this on your calendar, we're gonna start trying to do quarterly spiritual practice retreats. And the one we're gonna do October 1st on a Saturday here is gonna be one just on practicing the stillness and silence and how to connect with God through silence and solitude. And I highly recommend it. We're just gonna spend a few hours in the morning. We'll pray, we'll worship a little bit. Pastor Paul give us a little training, and then we'll actually go spend a couple hours throughout our campus in silence and solitude before the Lord, connecting with him, so that we can take that into our weekly Sabbath and be better at just being still. And part of our problem is we live in this super busy, crazy world that's always looking to distract us. We have cell phones that we have on when we go to bed at night, and that's just taking over our brains and causing us to lose sleep and be even more restless. And what Sabbath does is it just says, stop to all of that. Stop for a moment. That stuff's gotta take the back seat so that in this moment, in this time, I can connect with the Lord and I can rest. Pete Scarzario in that book, Sabbath, tells a story about a bunch of families, pioneers that were going across the United States from St. Louis to Oregon on the Oregon Trail. And they were all Christians, and they started out, and initially they all stopped. They would travel for 6 days, but on the seventh day, they would take their Sabbath and they would rest and recuperate and all that. But part of the group started to get very, very concerned that if they didn't keep going on the seventh day, they weren't gonna make it, and they might get stuck in the Rocky Mountains and all freeze to death and die. And so a group of them, after some debate, decided, well, we're just gonna go forward and we're gonna go without the Sabbath day's rest. And the other group decided, no, we're gonna keep doing this. We're gonna stay faithful to the Sabbath day rest. Well, sure enough, as the story goes, when it all was said and done, the group that stopped and had a weekly day of rest actually beat the other group to Oregon, which just proves the reality that we all desperately need rest. We need to slow our minds down. We need to slow our activity down. We need to take a break, both physically and emotionally, mentally, and spiritually, so that we can reconnect with each other, with the Lord, and so we can be more effective in the weeks to come at our job. Matthew 11:28-30 says, "Come to me," this is Jesus' words, "all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." That sounds nice, doesn't it? Rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I think a lot of the troubles that we've allowed in our lives, a lot of the frustration and pain that we face and go through is because we just haven't learned to get in a healthy habit of work, rest, play. Work, rest, play. We just work, and then our play is a little scattered and not focused, if we do get any at all, and we don't take the time to just let our body slow down and reconnect with the very person who gave us breath. The third area of practice is the idea of delight. Psalm 37:4 says, "Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart." Genesis 1:31, the end of the creation story, it says, "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good." Some translation says he delighted in his creation. So last week when I was kind of preparing for this message, I wanted to test something that was just building up inside of me that I just desperately wanted to say, but I didn't want to be a heretic and I didn't want to get in trouble with Paul. So I finally went into his office and said, "Paul, there's something I want to say, but I'm a little worried about saying it theologically. And since, you know, you're the one that would get mad at me if I did that, let's talk about it." And here's what I said to him. I said, "I think God's a show off." And he's like, "Yeah, I mean, you gotta be careful how you say that and what context, understand it, right? But yeah, yeah. I mean, look around. You guys, we live in one of the most beautiful places on the planet. This last summer, I spent almost every Friday and a lot of Saturdays on the water on a kayak. in all the different rivers and stuff around here because I just love the summer and not looking forward to the winter too much. God, in my opinion, in Wisconsin, God takes a very long break from showing off from about November through April. But seriously, this is beautiful. Like, there's nowhere on this earth where you can't go and just kind of see some of the ways that God shows off. But more importantly, how about how the way he shows off in our lives? The things he does. I mean, sometimes I think the problem is we're moving through life so fast. We're going through all of the things in our life so quick, and we forget to stop, rest, and take delight in the Lord so that when trouble does come, usually because we're moving too hard, too fast, not spending enough time connecting with the very person who gave us breath, that we get in this troubled time and we think, where's God? Well, he's been there the whole time, but we've never stopped we've rarely stopped to really delight in him. I think God's showing off all the time. We're just not paying attention. A couple years ago, I was kayaking. There's a little bit of a theme of my summers is kayaking. I love doing it. It's easy, it's fun, and it's good exercise. But so I was kayaking the La Crosse River in La Crosse, and it dumps out into the Mississippi. And as I dumped off into the Mississippi and I was starting back up the Mississippi a little ways to where I had dropped off my car, I looked up in the sky and there was this beautiful bald eagle kind of circling around, looked like it was hunting. And just looking, like hovering over the water, looking for something to eat. But after a little while, I started to notice that he was really focused, and I just had stopped and I was watching. And I started to notice, like, it seems like I'm the thing he's circling around. Like, is he see his reflection in the bald head? Now it's time to fight? I don't know. Like, I was worried. I was seriously worried. And then all of a sudden, he dives, like, right down at me. Like, he's coming full speed. And I'm like, oh, Lord, I'm about to die. Okay, I got this. I know they're in danger, but that dude tries to take my head off. He's going down, right? I got my kayak paddle ready. I'm like, oh, I don't know what's happening. And then about 50 feet in front of me, he swoops down in the water and he grabs a fish. I can still see like the water in my head. I can still see the picture. Obviously, I couldn't take a picture in this moment because I was scared for my life at first, right? But this beautiful moment happens in front of me and I can still picture it in my head. The water dripping off this fish and his talons reaching around and he swoops up out of the water just as fast as he had come up. And I was like, holy cow. And I started to look around and nobody else was around. Nobody else saw it. God painted that picture in that moment just for me. What a show off. How cool is that? How many times has he done that and I missed it because I was busy, because I didn't stop and rest and take delight in what God was doing. And then finally, the fourth aspect of a healthy Sabbath is to worship. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of solemn rest, holy to the Lord. It's meant to be a holy moment. Now, worship can take on a lot of different forms, folks. It's not just what we do here singing. Worship can be sitting in an ice cream shop with your daughter and watching her chow down something she loves and just stopping and going, God, thank you for this little girl. She is so much fun. She's a blast. Or watching my son catch his first pass in a football game ever, getting a first down and just going, thank you, Jesus, for this moment, because it's holy. The difference is recognizing the moment and giving thanks for it as an act of worship. It's recognizing, it's taking the time to slow everything down and see the picture that God is painting around us and then thanking him for it. Taking delight and worshiping him, however it is that you worship best. Revelation 22, 3 through 5 says this. It says, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face and his name will be on their foreheads. And night will be no more. They will need no light or lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light and they will reign forever and ever. Folks, here's the truth about Sabbath. The practice of Sabbath is to prepare us for the game, that is called heaven, where for all of eternity, we will be able to do this thing called Sabbath, because there will be no more work. Can I get an amen? Can I get an amen like we're down south? Thank you. Like, seriously, no more work, no more pain, no more strife. This passage or just a little bit earlier said every tear will be wiped away. So when we stop and practice Sabbath here on a weekly basis, it is preparation for what it will be like in heaven someday. Now, a couple of things, next steps that I want us to be thinking about. First and foremost, I want to just give you a little vision for what Sabbath might look like in your life and how you might be able to start to make that a regular practice. Because I believe that the best thing we can do out of this sermon and out of this last 5 weeks is to create a purposeful weekly Sabbath and do it as a family. One of the things that we're working on doing is every Friday at 6 o'clock, the Sabbath starts, and every Saturday at 6 o'clock, it ends. Now that does not mean we all sit on our knees and pray for 24 hours. That is not what that looks like. That means we're having dinner together, we're kayaking, we're watching movies, and we're delighting in each other, we're delighting in the Lord. Right now, my biggest hope is that Jen and I, we would be delighting in the Lord, and the kids would catch on. They would see how that's happening in our lives. And they will see that we're stopping and resting and we're prioritizing God and our relationships with them. You do the things that bring you life. You hang out with the people that bring you life, that remind you of your relationship with the Lord, and to get your eyes on Him and not other things. I believe we're all capable of this, but it's going to take some reprioritizing, some shifting of our priorities in order to create margin so that we can do this. I would challenge you that once you make a Sabbath day, that you keep it during that day. Now, one of the challenging things right now for our family is I coach high school football every Friday night, and my son plays, but we incorporate that into our worship. I'm constantly looking in those 4 or 5 hours I'm with those students for ways I can love and care for them and help grow them up to be better men. And give God glory for that. It's a conscious decision to find acts of worship, acts of praise and delight in those moments. It's definitely easier when we're winning. It's definitely easier when the kids I coach are doing what they're supposed to do too. Couple other things that we want to let you be aware of that we're doing this fall to help you grow and to learn to be more and more like Christ and to help you take the next step in your journey, whatever that next step might be, are some fall core classes that we're doing. In Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, which is happening on Tuesday nights from 6:30 to 8:30, we're gonna be digging in deep into what it looks like to follow Jesus with all of our life. We'll be talking about habits that we can build in and letting go of hurts that are kind of sitting in the way. Hurts, habits, hangups are sitting in the way. In order to become more emotionally and spiritually healthy. Then we have a class called Alpha every Monday night. For the next few minutes, I'm gonna try to act as your fall 2022 Jacob's Well tour guide on everything that's available. Because what I really am hoping that you'll take away from this last bit of time is, where am I in my journey? And what is gonna be the next right step? And hopefully we have something in here for you in your journey. So if you're here today and you're fairly new to the faith, or you just have a bunch of questions about this whole Jesus thing, what it means to follow him, where do I start, what does it look like? I don't understand the whole Jesus is deity thing, he's God, what does that look like? Like, what's the Holy Spirit, what's his role? This is the class for you. It's a great opportunity to come and ask hard questions and find the right answers to them. So I wanna encourage you, if that's you, sign up for that class today. There's gonna be a little video towards the end here that'll tell more about that, but that class is offered every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m. And then I also recognize there are people in this room right now where you really wanna take the next step in your journey, but money, problems are crushing you. And it's really hard to think about Sabbath and rest when I'm trying to work 3 jobs and money has overtaken everything in my life. It's overwhelmed me. My credit card debt's overwhelmed me. All of that. It's super difficult to keep on in this journey when that's a problem. That's why we're offering a class called Financial Peace University. And there'll be some videos, video in the weeks ahead that talk a little bit more about that. That is also going to be offered on Monday night from 6 to 8 p.m. All 3 of these classes are available to register today. Another big thing that I want you guys to be aware of is the support groups that we have here at Jacob's Well, that we have a wide range of different support groups to help you, again, with wherever your habit, hurt, or hang-up might be. Every week, all year long, on Tuesday nights at 6:30, we have Celebrate Recovery. That is not just for addictions. Again, that's for every habit, hurt, and hang-up you can think of. Then we have something called Hope and Healing. Happens the 3rd Thursday at 6:30, and that is ongoing throughout the year. We have a single moms group that meets Sundays at 3:15. The start date is September 11th. Divorce Care is on Mondays at 6 p.m. The start date for that is September 12th. And we have Grief Share, which is on Tuesdays at 5:30, and the start date for that is September 20th. So if one of those speaks to you and where you might be at in your journey, then I would encourage you to get signed up through our website. Go under our support groups and you'll find more information. Then finally, I have some age-specific startups that are coming up this year that will be great for your kids and youth and adults to connect with in order to continue their journey. First, we have coming up this Wednesday is our first Remnant worship night from 8 to 9:30. This is for 20-somethings, kind of that 19 to 35 age range. I heard it's going to be awesome. I hear things about like lights going crazy in here and haze machines putting up. Apparently, it's going to be lit. Is that an okay thing for me to say? I don't care because I'm saying it. Anyway, speaking of things that are going to be lit, we have our fall kickoff of our junior and senior high Wednesday, September 7th from 6:30 to 8:30. So both Remnant and youth groups start this Wednesday. Youth groups at 6:30 to 8:30 and Remnant starts from 8 to 9:30. So check that out. And then just in case you thought I forgot about the older Remnant that's here, we have a 50s, 60s, and 70s Connect Potluck Sunday, September 18th from 5 to 7 p.m. If you want more information on that, check that out on our website. Those are kind of the key things coming up this fall. As you know, there's some other things, like we have a picnic at the end of the month. But really our hope, our desire over this next year is to really move us towards a place where we're connecting with you wherever you are on your journey to help you take that next right step, like our mission statement says. And so I just really encourage you, don't be passive. Coming and being in these worship services every week is good, but if you really want to take your faith to the next level, then you need to engage in some of these steps that will help you do that. And honestly, there's none more important than beginning to learn what it looks like to take a Sabbath day off, where you connect with your family, you connect with the Lord, and you just stop, you rest, you delight, and you worship. Let's pray. Father, as we think about just some of the realities of the craziness of our lives, Lord, I do pray that each person would think long and hard today about ways that they can bring margin and balance to their life so they can find time to make a weekly Sabbath where they connect with you. Because I deeply, deeply believe that for all of us, if we'll prioritize this, we'll become more like you, we'll fall deeper in love with you, our intimacy with you will go through the roof, and we'll find that some of these things that were bothering us before, these pains, these hurts, these habits, hang-ups, will start to fade away as we fill our life with proper habits, spiritually healthy habits of connecting with you. So Lord, as we leave here today, I pray that you would be working in each heart, to figure out what is the next right step for me. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.